Hey guys, welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. It is a rainy morning in Dubai, so brollies out and cozy clothes on. If you made it to the office, you're an absolute hero because most of the city is working from home today. We talked about all of the big news that happened in Dubai this weekend, J-Lo's $5 million performance, Dubai sky taxis hitting the skies sooner than you think, and also the UAE warns against military operations in Rafah. We also got to sit down with the incredibly inspirational Emirati figure skater, Zahra Larry, and her thoughts on the region as a whole. Please stay tuned. We're talking about breaking news. It is raining.
It's raining, Case. We can hear it. Even in the studio, we can hear it in the roofs of in Dubai Production City. I think everyone knows it's raining today.
We're also going to be talking about the UAE is warning against military operations in Gaza. There will be sky taxis in Dubai by 2026.
Yeah, and also J-Lo performed at a private event in Dubai over the weekend.
And later we got to sit down with inspirational Emirati figure skater Zahra Larry to talk all about what she's up to right now. We also want to point out that it is day 118 since the war began in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip. The death toll has risen to 28,176. Over 67,000 people have been injured and 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes. Good morning to everyone who's tuning in on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. We love to see your comments before, during and after the show. And before we get to the big bad breaking news that it's raining, we want to talk about the big bad breaking news that it's Super Bowl time.
Super Bowl! Yeah, you know, it's all over our feeds. It's kind of an American football thing and, you know, not sure how biggest sport it is here, but it's just an annual event that like ads, celebs, everything.
It's funny because like, first of all, we're going to bring you through the scores and who actually won.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team won.
Yeah, you that's know? A long name for a football team. But,
yeah,
you
but
know.
That's all I have. I believe they won because they had the most magical moment of Taylor who made it on a private jet from her concert back over. She crossed 9 time zones.
Where was she performing? Singapore, was it, or Japan? So on Sunday night, right? The game is on Sunday night, American time. On Sunday night, other part of the world time, she performed a concert. So she's basically in two places at once, right?
So the big fear was whether or not she would make it for like her fans, but she made it.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, like, we asked, like, do you guys watch the Super Bowl?
I don't know if people do. I mean, how many?
Hesham?
No, and I think Nada. No. Content director, no shaking the head.
No.
But basically, there were even on Dubai F&B like press releases. There weren't that many Super Bowl parties. I'm sure football fans here did watch it together, but
maybe. But I think we're more aware of it now. Yes, we have like this like romance big thing about Taylor Swift, but also the ads. Like I'll always tune in for the ads, and this year they cost each 30-second slot, $7 million.
Yeah, that's to buy the 30-second slot, but that's not even to make the ad, which would be another few million, you know?
Well, like, look, this is like the prime example because they did teasers. They had the Beckham teasers. This is the Uber Eats ad.
Yeah.
Beckham teasers.
Is Beckham in the Uber Eats? Is that Russ? Okay, right. Yeah.
It just keeps going. Yeah. It's like Usher peeks up, Jennifer Aniston.
Some guy with his pants off. Yeah. What is going on?
But like, they each probably got a couple of million,
I'm guessing. Yeah, it's a lot of money. But it is the most watched, you know, we obviously follow media trends closely. And since everything moved to streaming, I think I saw a statistic that like of the 100 top watched TV channels on normal TV in the US last year, like 93 were NFL, not even NBA, like NFL, like you know, and this is the Super Bowl. It was the Kansas City Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers. You know, sport in the U.S. is just so big, right? But yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs, aka Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team. yeah. What's his name?
Taylor Swift's boyfriend. Kelce.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, I think.
Yeah.
And they weren't expected to win, so the fact that they got to the final and even it was looking shaky the whole way through the match, and then she just has her big kiss moment.
Yeah, like she's just iconic, isn't she? Like everything she touches just wins the Super Bowl.
One of the year. Yeah. But this exactly, it's yeah. Like she's got like a magic sprinkle or something.
Yeah, a female won the Super Bowl for the first time. It's great. Well done, Taylor.
but I think the what we get from the ads for years to come, apparently like the first ever ad that came out, or the big one, it cost $1.5 million back 40 years ago. It was the first time Apple did something great with marketing.
Yeah.
And they broke it onto the scene. And since then, it's been like the only way to legitimately hit 256 million people each
That's
year.
A good metric. That's a good stat you brought up. Yeah, it was the Apple II, I think. It was the 1984 George Orwell ads, and it's literally 30 years ago.
Anyway, I don't think we're big Super Bowl fans, really, here.
40 years ago. Yeah. Are we? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. But what we are fans of is rain content. Were you woken up by the blaring alert system on your phone at about 6 a.m.
I was already in the swimming pool, but yeah, I did see the alert.
The one day that the entire country is taking a duvet day and it's like, there's no way I'm going to the gym, there's no way I'm going to work. And you say to Rich, were you awake? And you say, oh, I was
over 5. And you know what the good thing about it is, so it was safe for me to drive, it was just across the Fit Republic and I had the pool to myself. But it is dangerous out there, you know. Initially, Shikandan and Government of Dubai Media Office announced that it was going to be work from home for the government entities. And then Mohri, the Ministry of Human Resource, announced that it's optional. And, you know, we saw videos of, you know, teachers, I think, in watching rugby last night who didn't have school today. So we know that school are off. But it is dangerous out there. You know, obviously, there aren't as many cars in the road, but it's the floods and the difficult to drive. So, yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of warnings. They came through over the weekend. They did not lie. Both private and public sector were asked to switch to remote working operations when viable. The tweet from X from the Ministry of Human Resources and Amortization called on private sector companies across the UAE to apply flexible working patterns today, Monday 12th, given the weather conditions.
Yeah, so the summary was necessary measures need to be taken by companies to ensure outdoor work, if necessary, to resume. Complies with the occupational health and safety requirements. The ministry's statement went on. Companies also need to ensure that the health and safety of workers commuting to and from outdoor work locations.
And as Rich said, big news for schools yesterday. Teachers and kids rejoiced. It was also announced a rain day. How epic. Our favorite Twitter account, the KHDA, tweeted, with unpredictable weather expected, we ask all Dubai private schools and nurseries and universities to be flexible when considering the needs of parents, staff and students, and provide the long remote distance working option today, February 12th. Stay safe, everyone.
Hashtag rain day. Yeah.
Hashtag rain day. You know when you get that message. Our mum was in a pub last night watching the Six Nations. Yeah. Ireland beat Italy, no big deal. And she just said it was packed with people excited about the news that there was going to be a rain day the next day.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
You're celebrating the weather that God has given us.
But you know, we got those messages, and obviously running a private sector company, you sort of take the guidelines, but you try and assess the pros and cons and the safety of your team and everything. And I had it yesterday, and I was kind of like waiting. I had the email drafted. So one of the benefits of being up early is that I was able to give people a heads up at 5 a.m. that don't come in. But, you know, when you're sending a message out like that, you know that people, it's like when your teacher is off sick for the day in your school, right? Like, it is a bit like that. Obviously, we're all adults and it's all professional, but like, you know, when people see that message, they're kind of like, cool, I'm working from home sort of thing.
But the reality is, like, it's all, I think the KHDA are so logical in the type of communications that they give out, and as I expect bosses are, because it's like, just stay safe.
Yeah.
Be logical in your decisions.
Yeah.
If you can't make it to work, if the roads are flooded, don't go. I haven't seen rain like this in quite some time. I know we had a really bad storm like 2 months ago, but the way the roads are flooded are today feel like at a different level. It feels like the government was aware. That's why they gave us a 1 day full warning to take that step to encourage remote working.
What do you think, Casey, what have you seen in the reports from the national weather? Is it cloud season? I think it's come from Oman, I heard. Was it a storm that's blown in?
I'm not sure.
Let's check that, where the weather has come from. But it looks pretty bad. That's the alert. And the phones kind of do their
blaring
thing, don't they?
Which is what you need to remind you. Because actually, when you looked out, it doesn't tell us about what it's like where you are. Because I could see lightning and I couldn't hear thunder. When you hear thunder, it feels a little bit scarier. So when I looked out my window this morning, it didn't feel as bad as other times. However, I just think there's such an amount of rainwater on the roads that it's just not safe for most people to drive to work today.
Yeah.
Because if you've got traffic on those roads, and that's exactly what Emran said, they said if you're traveling, be extremely cautious, get to the airport in loads of time because there is going to be a lot of traffic down at DXB. They said it's not a day for, they say due to the forecasted heavy rainwater, we recommend to plan extra travel time to reach the airport. Complete your check-in formalities ahead of time if you can. just to make sure, because if you're nervous about getting to the airport, today is not going to be the day that you want to take any chances.
Yeah, I saw some planes taking off yesterday in the sky. So obviously, but even Emirates are making statements around this. So, and it is nationwide, like our team in Abu Dhabi are off. There's some people who can't commute from Sharjah. So it is pretty much most of the Emirates. We saw something in Al Ain as well, right? Someone put something up this morning. There were some videos that Al Ain looks real
There's
bad.
A lot of rain in Al Ain. Yeah, it's countrywide. And I think everyone's just getting these warnings. Please stay away from the beaches, by the way. I know people think, oh, this is a good time to go kitesurfing. It's not. There could be flying things in the air. You don't know what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Avoid areas and valleys, especially if you're, don't go hiking at the moment. I've been the victim of my car. I've seen it flooding away, and that was only after 30 seconds of rain. So
it's a good reminder about that car incident because... Yeah, just don't take risks. Like, be safe.
I'm thinking about my car right now. It's in a car park on a high level. Could it be flooded? I don't think so. But if that did happen, I just can't. Let's not relive that day. Okay, let's jump into our next story. The UAE has warned against military operations in Rafah. The UAE has expressed deep concern regarding preparations by the Israeli military to launch an operation in the Rafah area in the south of the Gaza Strip, populated by displaced Palestinians, and the serious humanitarian precautions that may result from the operation. In a statement, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs warned against military action that threatens to cause the loss of more innocent life and exacerbate the humanitarian catastrophe in the Gaza Strip.
The ministry reaffirmed its strong condemnation of any forced displacement of the brutally Palestinian people and all practices that violate the resolutions of the international legitimacy and international humanitarian law.
The ministry also called on the international community to undertake immediate efforts to reach a ceasefire to avoid further loss of life and prevent fueling the situation in the occupied Palestinian territory.
Yeah, just on that as well, there's other statements from regional governments. I know the Saudi Ministry of Foreign Affairs issued something, and so did Egypt as well. And there were leaflets dropped in that area, and it's just tragic that that the genocide continues and that we're witnessing it. And from media in the region, it's important that we recognize what's happening and we have a voice, just like the Western media does, and we document what's happening. We've got content creators in our Egypt office working on Love and Palestine, documenting what's happening. And unfortunately, our two journalists in Gaza haven't been able to publish since the 7th of October, but we're in constant dialogue with them. And it's just, really, it's gone on too long and it needs to stop.
100%. I think the news continues to shock, but I think the fear is that we have seen people leave their homes through coercion, through force. The place that they thought was safe near the border now looks like it's in peril, and it's incredibly scary. And the UAE is taking a firm stance against the Israelis' choices there. Let's move on to the next story. It's connected to the World Government Summit, which starts in Dubai today. And one of the biggest headlines that we have so far is that there will be sky taxis in Dubai by 2026. Now, we know this has been questioned before. We know that we're talking about sky taxis for a long time, but this looks like the actual timeline. So the RTA has been busy not only dredging those roads from rainwater, but also announcing the agreement of the world's first aerial taxi. It looks like this. It happened at Dubai's World Government Summit. Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum witnessed the signing of agreement to launch aerial taxis in Dubai by 2026, which means we will become the first city in the world to provide commercial air transport service via electric air taxi in urban areas.
He doesn't mess around. He's so fast with all this stuff. His Highness, is amazing to see this again. We're going to witness it. This will be a nifty taxi in the sky. It's called the Joby Aviation S4 Aerial Taxi, a 5-seater battery-powered taxi with 6 propellers, and should hit the skyways by 2026. It's less noise and can cover a maximum distance of 161 kilometers, Abu Dhabi and back, no problem.
That's what I was just going to check.
With a top speed of up to 321 kilometers an hour. Wow. What do you think of that?
What I think? I think usually when we hear updates about, they were going to put that big moon in the middle of Dubai and they're going to, have like super high speed things. Sometimes it's private companies with a lot of investment. So you don't know if it's going to go the distance. However, we have the video here. His Highness was down signing the agreement. And if His Highness is putting You know, if he's getting involved in something, you know it's going to happen by 2026.
Absolutely.
So the world's first city to have aerial taxis commercialized will be Dubai, and we'll be here to watch it. How epic will that be? That means the regulation will happen. We know that the safety will be there. And this is the timeline that we can now put to that. So 161 kilometers is...
The distance, I think Abu Dhabi is 100 and something. It depends where you're going in Abu Dhabi, but like there's, yeah, maybe at least it's going to cover you one way down. But yeah, like literally flying cars, why not, you know? But the way you say the, you know, it's got the Royal Seal of Approval, but it's also, you know, it's literally just reading about how they set up an internet city back 24 years ago. And even though it's Royal Seal of Approval, it's government-backed, it was a loan, by, a $200 million loan by HSBC, so it was set up as a commercial entity from the start, and I think that that's what's going to be good about this. Obviously, you know, government entities like RTA and other things will come about as well, but if you think of the, yeah, it's just going to be cool, right? We're going to get a lot of good content from the sky, but also it's going to, transport is so important, and moving around mobility and smart mobility in a city is really, really important.
So true. We look forward to seeing where that will take us. We have a question coming in. A lot of people are asking, is there an earthquake alert alarm coming through? I didn't get one. And the notice that we have there, which was the a message that came through from some of our team, it wasn't an earthquake alarm. But what we will do to be 100% sure in that with you is we will check it and we will put up a post directly after if there is an alarm.
Nothing right now, nothing official right now, yeah.
No need for concern. The message that came through to my phone didn't mention an earthquake.
Yeah, nothing, we're just checking now, nothing official yet.
Nothing official, but if there is something official on that, no doubt we'll have it up in super quick time.
Absolutely.
Jumping into our next story, big things happen in Dubai all the time. Sometimes they go under the radar. This one did not. J-Lo, the one and only, was she at the Super Bowl? No, she was at Dubai performing at a private event. So celebs flew in from all over the world to attend the grand opening of the one and only Sabeel. We're talking Mark Ronson, Vanessa Hudgens, Idris Elba, Naomi Campbell, and so many more. But the star of the night and the big surprise was a performance by the one and only J-Lo.
Yeah, big. And she looked good. She rocking it. She's putting energy in, yeah.
I love J-Lo. So, like, she is like the ultimate. You know, like, she's so hardworking. There, if you saw the Netflix documentary on her, she's an impeccable human being. And she doesn't get enough sauce, I think, that, like, so the fact that she was there and not, you know, this was Super Bowl weekend and she was doing a private gig in Dubai.
Yeah. Amazing. So that's that building case, the one central building is that largest or highest up suspension thing in the world.
Like cantilever.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
I believe they call it.
Okay. Never heard that word
before. It's a cantilever. We Googled it.
But years ago, I interviewed the guy on Smashy Business who was building it, Alec Construction. And, you know, it's just one of those other, like, other feats, right? Like, and there was a largest mapping projection for the opening of it. And the one and only is obviously an international hotel brand that's just, you know, happens to be inside this one central. So they, you know, and following on from the amazing big opening of the Atlantis Royale a year ago now, right? With Beyonce, this sort of idea of like having huge opening events, you know, obviously Atlantis back in the day, but like the one and only in one central had a big opening with J-Lo and many, you know, you listed some of the international ones, but there was also lots of regional performance, like Nancy Ajram and celebs like Hind Sebri and people like that were in town as well for it. It was no costs were spared, obviously.
No costs were spared to the tune of, and I want to compare them. So apparently, reportedly, rumor has it, J-Lo got $5 million for last night.
Yeah, the night before,
The night before. Beyonce got $24 million for the Atlantis, but in all fairness, Beyonce hadn't performed in a couple of years, and this was before, this is basically the teaser for her world tour, so.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, yeah. It's a lot of money. I mean, $5 million for an appearance, for an opening of a hotel, it's a lot, right? Like, but I think, I'm not sure the duration of the set, but it did look like the Beyonce thing was a concert. Whereas this was kind of like singing inside sort of thing. Yeah, like, true. It's kind of a bit different. Like, you know when you hear that, oh, X singer performed at a private party for a wedding of someone wealthy, right? Like, you kind of hear low million fees or a few hundred thousand or whatever. But then when you hear kind of like private performance things at, you know, big events, not F1, but those sort of things, the fee goes higher. But obviously, $5 million is a lot of money.
The production value changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. And the production value, but it looked like everyone had a great time.
Yeah, it looked amazing.
That would have been a nice invite to get.
It would have, yeah.
Did you not get one? Lots of messages coming through about the earthquake. Like I said, we'll get the definite story to of that right after this show. Guys, it's 9:08 on a Monday morning, and it feels like one of those like special rain days because, first of all, has anyone made it to the office? You absolute hero. If you have, let us know. If not, keep your comments coming through. Let us know what the rain is like in your area. We love your DMs on rain day. It means you're just like us and you're taking videos of the rain in Dubai. But do stay tuned for our next interview. It has been so long since we have waited to sit down with Sarah Larry. She's an inspirational Emirati figure skater, and what she's doing is incredible on the scene. No one expected her to do it, and that's what I think is so so impeccable of her.
Yeah, so she actually also has a kid's book out, and she'll talk about that with our colleague Farah, who interviewed her on Friday. And obviously it was Emirates Litfest last week, and Zahra Larry lives in Abu Dhabi, and she was coming down, so she did a lot of meet and greet around the kids book launch. So she's inspirational, you know, it's figure skating, it's in the Olympics, we have Paris Olympics coming up. I'm sure Zahra Larry's career will be discussed on the interview as well, but it's great to see you know, athletes in the region inspiring others and doing things like this.
So take a listen. It's, the interview, of course, was done on Friday. It's going live now. And as always, enjoy the rain day. Stay safe. Do not drive if you don't need to. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
That's my husband.
That's actually adorable.
He supports me.
Yes.
We're going live in one
He's
night.
Adorable.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I've always wanted to try figure skating, but I just never had the time.
There are so many ice rinks in Dubai. So.
Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. We are joined today by the amazing Emirati first hijabi figure skater, of course, Zahra Larry. Hi, Zahra. Welcome to the show. We're very excited to have you here with us, of course. And she is as well joined by Hadley Davis, the writer of Disney Ice Princess, which, by the way, inspired her. So get ready for this remarkable journey. Hi, guys. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hi. Thank you for having us today.
Yeah. Of course, ice skating is a very, I would say, feminine sports. It's not easy. It's not for everyone. So I have a lot of questions for you guys. And my first question to you is, how has Hadley, you know, inspired you to start your figure skating journey?
So to be honest, if it wasn't for Hadley's Ice Princess movie, I wouldn't know what figure skating was. So I went to the movie theater with my mom and my brother, and we watched Ice Princess. And I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with the sport, and it's the perfect combination of art and sport. And I just sat there and I looked over to my mom and I told her that I'm gonna be a figure skater. And I didn't stop asking them to take me to the rink. And then my dad took me and the journey began.
So have you ever imagined that having like your book be that inspirational? So, you know, of course, like you're a writer, you must love as well figure skating, right? Because
I love figure skating, and I actually grew up on a pond, and I wrote the movie, and years later, I heard about Zahra, and I honestly couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that here I was on the other side of the world, and something that came from me had really changed someone's life in the direction of their life.
So what is it like as well, you know, like being like the first hijabi Emirati, let's say, figure skater, right? There's a lot of like, I would say, like misconception, like regarding you're like, oh, because you're hijabi, you can't do that. And what is it as well, like, what do you think, you know, like, do you think you're very proud to have inspired an Emirati to genuinely like, just like learn all about figure skating?
Look, there aren't many people who get to be the first, and to have played a small part in Zahra being the first to compete, It's very special. It's very emotional. And we knew when we connected that we needed to tell this story so that more girls would be inspired to skate too, or do any sport, or really anything that they want to do.
I would actually want to get back to that, but let me know, like, did you face any resistance or objection?
Yeah, of course. I mean, being the first is always not an easy journey. We get all the struggles, everything comes to us as the first, but to be honest, it's worth it. When I went to my first international figure skating competition, I did get deductions from the judges because of my hijab, and I knew I had to make a change, and after meeting some representative from the International Skating Union, I was able to do that, and they changed the rules, and no one wearing the hijab will ever get deductions. So to be part of that, it makes everything worth it. It makes all the struggles, it makes literally all the sweat, all the tears, all the blood, like, it makes everything worth it, the whole journey, just to inspire the next generation of kids. And that's the reason why Hadley and I wrote this book also. And it's a children's picture book because we wanted to really send the message across young children and to tell them that we all have something that we want to try. Maybe we just didn't try it yet, and it's never too late.
That's actually beautiful, by the way, guys. This is the book that they have written, but, and this is you,
yeah,
right? Guys, look at this. It's beautiful at this point because you are truly an inspiration. You know, a lot of people do think that age, or even in your case, hijab might be in your way. So I want to go back to, tell me about the moment that you guys met. Of course, like, you met your hero, you know, the writer of the actual movie that inspired your journey. I want to hear it.
Well, one morning in Los Angeles, I opened the newspaper, and we actually still get the paper
yes,
in my house. And most mornings, I don't even have time to read the paper. I've got kids, I work, you know, big rush. But I opened it. I opened it to an article about this skater who is breaking barriers on skating in a hijab. And at the very end of the article, it said, and she started skating after watching the movie Ice Princess. And I, wait a minute, I wrote that movie. And I ran down the hall, I ran to my office, I found her on social media, I texted her, and it was morning in LA, so it was evening here. She wrote right back, and our friendship was born.
Oh, that's, yeah, that must be very nice as well.
I mean, I freaked out when Hadley first sent me a message. But to be honest, like, the whole journey of Hadley and I, like, it was, like, our friendship was so natural and so easy, and it was from the very beginning. And then I went to California for training over the summer, and we met at the rink, and she invited my mom and I to dinner at her house, and, like, everything was so smooth and so natural, and then we decided that we're gonna write this children's book.
What's really special is that here we are, we live on opposite sides of the globe, but our life stories are intertwined, where we have this, you know,
alignment,
very deep connection.
Yeah, you guys seem very aligned together, which is beautiful at this point. You know, of course, like, you were probably starstruck, you know, when you're here, I would say.
Definitely.
Of course, if you would think so as well, because, like, she's the one who inspired, or the movie inspired you to actually begin your journey. And you persevered through all of the, I would say, the no's, you can't do it, and all of these things, all of the negativity. So how did you deal with the negativity? It must have been so hard.
I mean, some days were tougher than others. Yeah. And I always say the most important thing is having a great team surrounding you. Because during those really bad days where you feel like you just want to give up, you don't want to do it anymore, the team is there to lift you up and help you refocus on your goal. And I had the best team surrounding me, and they really helped me stay focused and to not look at any negative things on social media. At the end of the day, it's just someone sitting behind a screen, and I had no one tell me anything in front of my face. And I mean, it's really important having that support system around you.
100%. She must have given you advice. So what is one advice that you have given her, and what's one advice that she has given you that sticks in your head?
Well, I really learned about perseverance and the no's and not listening to the no's from Sarah. I mean, it's something that in the entertainment business you always deal with. There are more projects that don't go forward, and you always have to keep going until you land on the right project.
Yeah, and for me, I think Hadley, I've learned so many things from her. And during the process of us, we had not just this book, we had so many other projects and things that we wanted to do, and some of them didn't work out. And she just showed me that it's okay, not every project that you want to do will work out. We just have to think of what's the next thing we can do. And she helped me through the whole process of writing this book, because I don't know, it's not my area. I'm more on the ice and just doing my sport. So she helped me a lot, and she really taught me the whole process.
That's beautiful, because honestly, I could see written by Zara and Hadley Davis, which is, by the way, you guys, look at this. It's just beautiful at this point. I'm going to have to look at it after we're done with the interview. But as well, I would want to ask you is, what is one moment throughout your figure skating career that you would not forget?
I mean, there are a lot, but I would say something that really touched me deep inside would be that one time I got this message from a mom, and this mom is saying that there is a girl in her daughter's school that is Muslim and covers, and she does figure skating, and when she started to cover, that she feels a bit embarrassed that she's the only one that's covered, and she wants to stop skating. And this mom wrote me to say if I can send her a message. And this is not her daughter, it's just her daughter's friend. And I thought that is something amazing, just that everyone is together, we're all in one hand and everyone's supporting each other. Yes, you might not be Muslim, you might not cover, but you know someone else that is, and you really want them to accomplish their goals and their dreams. So, I mean, I think that really hit me.
That's beautiful. Yeah. How does it feel to know that you have inspired not any lady, but actually a Muslim covered lady? Of course, because not all Muslims are covered, right? Mm-hmm. So you did not inspire any lady. You inspired a beautiful covered lady. How does it feel like?
It feels remarkable. I mean, it's not often living in Los Angeles where I get to interact even. I get to see people who are covered. And now I have a friend for life, a friend who's a sister.
Oh, that's very sweet to say. I mean, for sure, we can tell that there is this sisterly bond between you both, because she has inspired you so much. Yeah. And of course, honestly, I would die if I, my favorite person who wrote my favorite movie, contact me for something like that. I mean, of course, and you have persevered through achieving your dream no matter what. Because it's not easy, we all have dreams, and we all just put in our heads, oh yeah, I want to be this, oh yeah, I want to be that. But would you say it was an easy process?
No. Only the people that are really close to me know,
know that, yes,
know
for sure.
The whole process, but it was definitely not an easy journey. And that's the whole thing, success doesn't come easy, and when you love something, you have to not listen to anyone. You have to not give up. Every time you fall, you get up and you keep going. And never listen to anything that's negative around you. Focus on what you want to do. Give it 100%. And if you do all of this, then you can accomplish what you want to accomplish.
So I'm sure that both of you have worked together as a team to change the Muslim perception on figure skating and such sports, right? So how would you describe that? How did you both, how do you think that your presence, changed the idea that the world has on Muslims and hijabis specifically competing in such sports?
Well, we're really hoping that this book is part of that. The book is published by Scholastic, which is a global brand. We had 1,600 classrooms listening to us read the book the other day, including classrooms in Kentucky and Texas and, you know, these states which we call red states that might not, we might not think of as open-minded. So this adorable little girl, this little Zara in this book who does fall down, and of course in skating you literally fall down and have to get up, we hope will help change those perceptions.
And this book is not only for Muslim girls or for covered girls, it's just for anyone out there. The deeper message is that you all have dreams, especially as kids. Kids have so many dreams, and that innocent, that young, they don't know something that is called impossible. All they know is that everything is possible, and why crush their dreams? I mean, it's the opposite. We need to tell them that go after it because everything is possible.
100%. That's beautiful. So what would you say? Of course, you've had a lot of encouragement. You know, of course, like, as much as there is negativity, there is as well, you know, someone who was encouraging you. So what would you say was your biggest source of encouragement?
My mom.
Aww.
My mom was there. I mean, of course, my dad as well, okay? But my dad was behind the scenes, the finances, and he was going through all of that, trying to financially make me able to do it. But then my mom was there all the time. Like when I had 4:30 in the morning practices, she was sitting at the cold freezing rink. At that time, literally, she was like my driver. She was just taking me to the rink, picking me up, taking me out to school, in middle school, taking me to the rink, bringing me back to school, like just going back and forth. And I also have two brothers, so she sacrificed a lot. Like a lot of time was spent with me and not with them. And so, I mean, to be honest, like without her, I wouldn't be able to be who I am today.
That's beautiful. What about you? Because, of course, like you are the reason. She got so inspired. So what was the one source of encouragement that you had writing the movie?
Oh, well, you know, I think that my source and the source of most stories and most writers is your own childhood, your own experiences. So I was a dancer growing up. And I didn't become a professional dancer because my parents really wanted me to go to college. And that story is really the story of Ice Princess. It was just changed to skating. So it's kind of like the discouragement that made me write it, but there's obviously a happy ending.
Well, there's a happy ending to everything. I mean, at the end, you made the movie that, you know, just like got this beautiful Emirati, I would say, covered figure skater. And of course, I'm sure, because I do see a lot of my TikTok, you know, a lot of like hijabi figure skaters, and I'm just like, I wish I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. Or even if I have the time to do that. But it's beautiful, you know, like because like you both, it's like a 1 + 1 = 2, if it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here and for inspiring not only me, I'm sure everyone who's watching the interview. And it was beautiful and magical, amazing happening, honestly.
Thank you so much.
If you could just like before we end the show, if you can just give one inspiring message, one from you and one from you, to the inspiring athletes.
Well, my message to all athletes is to go after your dreams. Don't let problems look like mountains. Always focus on the solution. There's a solution to everything. And try to find the support system that can get you going. And a lot of girls that I see might struggle to have their parents let them to do different types of sports. And my advice to you is don't argue, like just educate them because they came from a completely different generation than us. So just try to educate them and just follow your dreams.
My advice is really the title of the book, not yet.
I love it.
Just because you haven't done something, and it might be in, you know, in sports, or it might be in a totally different area, but it doesn't mean it won't happen someday if you keep trying.
I love that. I mean, you guys have given amazing advice, which not only can be applied to sports and athletes, it can be applied to everyone. I even need that advice, to be honest with you guys. Well, thank you so much for being here and for inspiring me and everyone.
Thank you so much for having us.
It was beautiful having you guys. So you guys, this is the end of our episode. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, same time and same place. Goodbye from me. Thank you.